Hello, this is Ken Smith welcoming you to our Bringing a Message radio programme, brought to you by the Biomeans Gospel Trust from Solihull, England. Today we are looking at the subject of spiritual gifts. This is the fourth talk in the series, Ignorance on Spiritual Truths. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church and said, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. God loves to give gifts to his children, and we trust you will find this message helpful and a blessing to you." Maurice Payne is the speaker. Hilary is reading the scriptures and giving the closing announcement. Music is by Peter Jackson and Singers. If this program is a blessing to you, we would like to hear from you. Stay tuned for today's message.
Today we are speaking about spiritual gifts. Do you know about the heavenly boutique? Gifts that beautify the spirit rather than the body? Have you visited it and received the spiritual gift God has chosen for you? Listen to these words from the 12th chapter of the first letter to the Corinthians.
"Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit."
It was a concern of the Apostle Paul that believers in Corinth should not be ignorant of spiritual gifts. And it should be our concern too that we don't display the same ignorance. If there are gifts of the Spirit available to help us in our Christian pathway and enable us to praise and serve the Lord, we need to know about them. So the Apostle begins this 12th chapter with the words, "About spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." The line of thought that the Apostle takes immediately after these opening lines is interesting. He writes, "You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols." With these words, he contrasts the Christian spiritual experience with that of the non-Christian or pagan. Only the Christian worships a Lord who can meet his or her need. Only a Christian worships a living master who can speak to them. Only a Christian knows the one who is able to succour, comfort, and lift up those who are cast down. Now there are many scriptures that point out the folly of our past behaviour when we worshipped gods of our own making. In the book of Habakkuk we read,
"Of what value is an idol since man has carved it, or an image that teaches lies? For he who makes it trusts in his own creation. He makes idols that cannot speak."
It's an act of folly when man puts a god on the throne of his heart that can do nothing for him. And mankind in general does this. But for those who know the Lord, there must be no such folly. When God in Christ is on the throne of our heart, he can and will do for us all we need. You don't have to be in the Christian life very long before you begin to question things that are happening and ask what value they are. Is this genuine? Is it real? You ask. You want to know if what you see is the Holy Spirit or carnal and of the flesh. So in his introduction to spiritual gifts, the Apostle says, "I don't want you to be ignorant about them," inferring, of course, that some are ignorant and that we have something to learn. In pursuit of this, the apostle goes on to say, "No one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.'" The Holy Spirit always uplifts the Lord Jesus. He never usurps the highest place occupied by the Lord. The Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus. Whoever or whatever demotes or usurps the place of the Lord Jesus has no connection whatever with the Holy Spirit or his gifts. Then Paul wants us to know the opposite is true. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There may be other signs or indications we look for, but this is the main thing. Where does the gift place the Lord Jesus? The spiritual gift or gift of the Spirit must exalt Jesus as Lord. There may be other factors like the friendship, companionship, love, and concern for others, but the important thing is Jesus Lord? In the heavenly boutique, there are gifts that sparkle and others that are more plain, gifts that are hardly noticed and others that fill the air with fragrance, and all, when received and used, exalt the Lordship of Christ. By the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we can be as though we lived alongside Jesus in the days of his earthly ministry. In fact, we can do this more so because had we lived in Palestine then, there would have been days when we couldn't hear the great teacher. Now, a life lived in the Spirit enables the follower of Jesus to walk with the Lord every moment of every day. Just think of the work of the Holy Spirit instructing us today. The Spirit teaches us to see the Lord Jesus, who died 2,000 years ago, and recognize that his death is effective in saving those who trust him today. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts a person, making them realize the Lord wants to come into their heart. The Holy Spirit shows us that God has exalted Jesus and given him a name above every name. What a mighty task the Holy Spirit does in revealing Jesus and leading the sinner to repent and believe. It is important you recognize that the Holy Spirit shows us Jesus is Lord because you will from time to time meet folk who are misguided and say that you do not have the Holy Spirit because you don't do what they do or see what they've seen. The Apostle Paul makes it clear that if you can say Jesus is Lord, your voice joins with that countless number worldwide who praise the Lord from their heart. You might be slow. You might not have had an education. You might have had a life full of distress. You might have had deep valleys to go through. You might have had many unsolved puzzles. But if your heart can say Jesus is Lord, that's the Holy Spirit. And the need of every church or gathering of believers is Spirit-led worship of this kind. John tells us in his epistle,
"Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world."
The Holy Spirit uplifts Jesus. And the heart that has the Spirit cries, "Jesus is Lord." When we know about the giver, we can think about his gifts. After telling us that he doesn't want us to be ignorant about spiritual gifts, Paul makes the point that there are different sorts of gifts. Much as you would expect in heaven's boutique, in the natural world, it's the choice of gifts that makes the display attractive. When you buy a child a soft, cuddly toy, that child will love it because it's cuddly. You could buy a puzzle or something educational that would stretch the mind. It could be clothing or music or something artistic, all different sorts of gifts. Now, if you and I can give different sorts of gifts, why are we surprised when the Holy Spirit does the same? The Bible reminds us that there are different sorts of gifts.
There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men.
Different kinds of gifts, If you gave a cuddly toy to a child last birthday, you may give something educational this year. This doesn't mean the giver has changed, just another gift has been chosen. So we find there are different kinds of gifts, but the same spirit. Do you recognize different gifts for different uses? You may not have what I have, or I what you have, because we're each called to do different things. And that's why the Apostle says there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. True gifts of the Spirit all come from the same heavenly boutique. The Lord's work takes on many forms. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them. God is working, and he calls you and me who love him to be workers together with Christ. We may feel it's a little part we fulfill, but he doesn't neglect us in that ministry because our part is small. As we wait on him, he will give us what we need to fulfill our calling. God doesn't call you and then leave you to get on as best you can. He calls and equips, and he sends you forth. Though you experience failure, or though you experience distress, or stumble and fall over, yet he's able to meet your need and to lift you up and to join together what you seem to have as a collection of pieces. It is in weakness that you prove the Lord's strength. It's not what the gift is, but that the Lord chose it for you that counts. Under the power of the Spirit, Samson in the Old Testament used a jawbone and then testified, "With a donkey's jawbone I've killed 1,000 men." One problem we have is that we do not appreciate the infinite diversity there is in God, and that this diversity provides a wide array of gifts. An important thing then is in this seventh verse, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, or to profit with all. The gifts of the Spirit are not for entertainment or for our own pleasure, though it is pleasing to use them in blessing others. God's gifts are given for us to do something with. They're not for us to have an enjoyable time, neither should we pray that we would like more for our pleasure, though we are exhorted to covet earnestly the best gifts. No doubt, we are to continue asking until our prayer is answered, or that the Lord shows us that his grace is sufficient for us to accomplish our task with what he's given us. There's no doubt that a spiritual gift generally blesses the one exercising it, as well as blessing those who receive it. Just like when you buy a specially suitable gift for someone, it gives both of you pleasure. Sometimes the gifts we receive are of no use to us, but God's gifts are not difficult to apply. God will give you a gift that will so bless you that you'll praise the Lord and thank him for the gift he's given you. And then the apostle gives us some examples of spiritual gifts. The list he gives isn't exhaustive, of course. A list of gifts from the hand of one who made all things must be never-ending. We know that God is limitless, and his ways past finding out. They cannot be understood by man. Listen to the list.
To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one, just as he determines.
The apostle no doubt listed these gifts because the church in Corinth needed to know about them, and because these gifts that he mentions would be of value in the corporate worship of the local church in that city. And they've been recorded in Scripture because they're of value to us today. In his letter to the Corinthians, the apostle gives guidance to help them recognize whether what is advertised as a gift is genuine. He also gives specific directions for some of the gifts so that they may not be misused. as with any gift. Once it is given, it is then the responsibility of the one receiving it to use it properly. As the scripture says, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That's to say, God doesn't ask for them back. Though we can appreciate that godless and unworthy behaviour on the part of the recipient can make the gift cease to function. Gifts of the Spirit are operated or monitored by the Spirit. And if one ceases to walk in the Spirit, that function ceases. The prophet may continue to speak, but his words are no longer inspired. One with the gift of healing may pray for the sick, but the sick are not healed. An outstanding example of the loss of God's gift, you know, is found in Samson, when he arose from the lap of Delilah and said, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free from the cords that he thought bound him." And he went out not knowing his strength had departed from him. As the Old Testament graphically records, he didn't know that the Lord had left him. It'd be a perfect church where believers could account for all the gifts mentioned, though we can all expect the Lord to provide whatever gifts that are needed for a particular local church or group to function in the way God intended, both for the edification of the believers and as a witness to the world around them. Now a word about gifts on display. Not all gifts are in the Corinthian shop window. That list of gifts in the first letter to the Corinthians, as I've already said, were specific for that church. They're recorded there because they're gifts of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit wants us to seek. We do not want a situation where, in relation to gifts of the Spirit, we say that we do not know what gifts are available. That would be like having a birthday, but not knowing what, if anything, you're going to get. And it is possible to go through life without receiving the gifts the Lord has for you, because you don't ask or believe that He'll give them to you. A shop window, you know, is dressed to attract you to go inside and make a purchase. So God's word has listed a number of gifts of the Spirit available to those who will enter in faith and receive, and then find much more inside. Look then at what we find in the Apostle Paul's Corinthian church window on display. First, wisdom. Do you remember how Solomon asked for wisdom? God said to him, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." And Solomon asked for wisdom, and it was soon evident that the Lord had answered him when he called for a sword to end the dispute brought him by two women quarrelling over one baby, each saying it was hers. He called for a sword to cut the baby in half and give half to each mother. This showed who the real mother was, for she would rather lose the baby than see it cut in half. The gift here is labelled the word of wisdom. And don't we need this gift in many areas today? Then there's knowledge. The Gospels record an instance of this gift in use when Jesus told Peter he would find a coin in the mouth of the first fish he caught. Jesus knew there was a coin in the fish's mouth and that it would be caught by Peter and pay their tribute money to Caesar. Another example from the Old Testament was when they couldn't find Saul on his coronation day. You remember, although he was head and shoulders above everyone else, when the time came for his coronation, they couldn't find him. And those seeking him inquired of the Lord, and they were given the answer, "There, he is hidden among the equipment." It was the word of knowledge that enabled them to run and bring Saul to be crowned king. God promises the word of a gift of knowledge to his children when it's needed. And then faith. All faith in the Lord is a gift from him. And faith, as listed by Paul in this chapter, is a special gift. And there are those who we can single out as having the special gift to exercise faith in a needy situation. Among these must be George Müller and his work among orphan children in Bristol, England. His faith enabled him to say grace with his orphans when there was no food on the table. He was able to believe that God would supply, and the knock on the orphanage door with an unexpected delivery of bread moments later proved this. His experience has been repeated many times over. Examples of the gift of faith can be found in the modern biographies of followers of Jesus. An example of the gift of faith recorded in the Gospels was when Jesus told Jairus, whose little girl had died, that he only needed to believe. Jesus was about to perform an extraordinary miracle, and it needed extraordinary faith. Thank God, at times when we need it, the Lord can give the gift of faith. With the gift of faith, we can link the gifts of healing and the working of miracles. The Lord doesn't heal everyone, but because everyone isn't healed doesn't mean we should not pray for healing. God works in different ways. One way that is obvious here is that he heals when there is the exercise of the gift of faith, and the same can be said of working of miracles. When a miracle is needed, the Lord is well able to meet our need, and this may happen through one exercising the gift of working of miracles. And then there are what we call the inspirational gifts. Gifts given for worship, praise, adoration, edification and instruction, prophecy, discerning different kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Many can testify to the blessing received from one or more of these gifts since a latter-day outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the beginning of the last century. These gifts of the Holy Spirit can be found in operation in many sections of the body of Christ or of the church today. Now, a word of caution. In all this, we should remember that the characteristic of any gift of the Holy Spirit must be that it uplifts Jesus. Jesus said that the Spirit would testify of him. The exercise of a spiritual gift must draw the user closer to Jesus. The spiritual gift must be used under the direction of the Holy Spirit. If and when we do what we want rather than what God would have, it's no longer a gift of the Spirit. Unless the gift of the Spirit is accompanied by life in the Spirit, what should be a blessing can become a curse. Many prophets in the Old Testament misused their gift and they became false prophets. Kings abused their position and led the nation of Israel or Judah into idolatry. Onesiphorus did something that made Paul pray that the Lord would be merciful to him in the day of judgment. Demas forsook Paul, having been enticed by the world. We are left to wonder what happened to his gift. Then there were those in the early church who Paul indicated should be given over to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme, and it's likely there's still some like them around today. There are diversities of gifts, and it easily becomes a failing that we desire what someone else has. It's a suggestion of the devil when we say a gift someone else has cannot be a gift of the Spirit because we don't have it. This is a form of pride, spiritual pride, when someone has what we do not have, and it's something we need to resist. Remember, a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord is better than dwelling in the tents of wickedness. The Holy Spirit is absolutely sovereign in what he does and the reason he does it. Under the direction of the Spirit, we must all move together, and each of us plays an important part, no matter how small it may be. The ear doesn't say, "I'm not of the body because I'm not the eye," and the foot doesn't say, "I'm not of the body because I'm not the leg or the head." We've got a part to play, and God's word says,
"I wouldn't have you ignorant, you members of the body of Christ in this church. You've got a part to play.
There's a reward awaiting for you if you play the part the Lord gives." The apostle argues at length about the body as a unit that is made up of many parts. "I cannot be everything, and it's failing when a man tries to do everything. Each has a part to play, and the Holy Spirit will lead us, so we play our part." Now then, visit the boutique, Heaven's Boutique, today. There's a gift just for you. Let the Lord do the selecting. Tell him you want the very best gift for the place he'd have you serve him. Leave it to the Holy Spirit to fit us in the place that he wants us to be. Our problem is that we don't say, Lord, at your word I will. That's what Peter had to learn. He'd been fishing all night, and he was someone you couldn't tell anything about the sea, but Jesus did. After using Peter's boat as a platform from which to speak to the crowds, Jesus said,
Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch of fish.
Peter first of all objected and said,
Lord, we have toiled all night and caught nothing.
And then his better nature took over and he said,
Nevertheless, Lord, at your word I will.
This is the submission to the word of the Lord that we all need. After the list of the gifts of the Spirit in the 12th chapter of Corinthians, we read, Earnestly seek the best gifts. What are the best gifts? Are they not those gifts whereby each one of us can fulfil God's purpose and uplift the Lord Jesus? Now, there's no price ticket on the gifts. When Paul wrote such a full and instructive chapter on gifts to the church in Corinth, we cannot remain ignorant, and because these are God's gifts, they may be received without money and without price. No gift tickets on the gifts in the heavenly boutique. In fact, the scripture says that no good thing will he withhold to them that walk uprightly.
The Bringing a Message program you have just heard is produced by the By All Means Gospel Trust, based in the United Kingdom. We are always pleased to hear from our listeners, and there are several ways you can contact us. You can write to us at BAM Gospel Trust, P.O. Box 986, Bourne, B-O-U-R-N, Cambridge, CB23, 2YX. You can email us, info@bringingamessage.org, or you can use the response form on our website's contact page. To hear this program again or to find out more about the Trust's work and publications, go to our website www.bringingamessage.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. One of our publications is called Break and Meditate. This contains short comments on a verse from the Bible, one for each day. This is available free either as a booklet mailed every 2 months or as a file emailed monthly. The reading for the day is also available on the Read page of our website. BAM also produce Bible study books and booklets. One booklet is produced every 2 months, and several earlier series are available from our website, where you will also find details of all available publications. And now join Peter Jackson and singers as they sing, Be My Lord As I Kneel to Bless You, Be My Lord When I Should Confess You, In the Church and in the World, Glorify Your Name.
Be my Lord as I kneel to bless You. Be my Lord when I should confess You. In the church and in the world, glorify Your name.
Thank you for joining us today. Listen at the same time next week. Until then, this is Ken Smith saying goodbye, and may God richly bless you.